Sunlight crests the Earth's surface. As rays of light shoot up from the continents, the planet spins into view, with a word across it. Universal. A web address appears. www.universalstudios.com. On a black backdrop, metallic red, white, and blue stripes wave alongside the words, USA Films. Titles, USA Films presents A Scout Production. At the end of a dark corridor, a wheelchair appears to be standing on the ceiling outside a dimly lit room. The image slowly turns 180 degrees. The chair is on the floor. The title, in the same lettering as a label maker, Session 9. Day. A curly-haired man sits in the driver's seat of a stationary vehicle. Through the windshield, a blurry figure stands in the open doorway of another vehicle parked in front.
What I wanted to do was see if the doctor there.
Who's that? Hey.
Gordy, the curly-haired man, sips coffee.
You look tired, man. You look beat. Your turn to feed Emma.
Oh, she still has that ear infection.
She still got that. She had that at the christening. She still got it.
Well, a redhead sits in the passenger seat.
How's Wendy holding up?
Tired. Same as me.
You need anything, Gordon, you let me know, okay? I'm here. Hang in there, man. You're gonna be fine. All right?
A sign on a gate for Danvers State Hospital.
Uh-huh. No. About 15 minutes. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll tell him right now.
The guy up front, a security guard, hangs up a car phone and approaches Gordy's van. The van's labeled Hazmat Elimination Co.
That was Bill Griggs on the phone. He says he's getting off the ramp. He'll be here in a minute.
Okay, man. Thank you very much. You know what? Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
When was the hospital actually closed?
85.
85.
Yeah,
because, you know, I'm curious because, you know, they got you and you got the firearm on, and it's not like people are trying to get out, right?
No, not out, in. No, kids, delinquents, homeless. Oh, yeah. A lot of patients ended up in the streets when this place closed down, and some of them, they come back. I found a half a dozen squatting up there last spring.
Patients come back?
Yeah, they come back. I mean, God knows why. Where do you see the place? I mean, Jesus, I'd rather sleep in the street, personally, but then, you know, I'm not nuts.
Obviously.
Hey, here he is.
All right.
Good luck, fellas.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Okay.
A car drives along a road.
We first in line?
Nope. Environmental Solutions, American Yankees were up here last week.
Wow. What was their bid?
Under the Yankees' bid was fast and low.
But that's the way Griggs likes them. He likes jobs fast, Gordon.
And I like them safe,
yeah,
Phil.
But we cannot gamble with this, Gordon. You want me to talk to him?
Phil, I know what I'm doing, okay? Okay?
Holy shit, look at this. Look at this.
They look out Gordon's window at an old building. It's large, a few stories high, wide, and with pointed rooftops.
1871. That's when she went up, gentlemen. We called her the Kirkbride Building, named after Dr. Thomas Kirkbride. Well, that's a pretty simple layout, really, you know? If you consider a giant flying bat, you know, the main staff building's in the middle, the bat body, and slanting off each side are these, like, giant crooked bat wings. You know, one for female patients, the other for male, you know? Ah, a bat. Yeah, believe it or not, this place is listed in the National Historic Register. You know, that's why I can't tear it down. I mean, I'd love to, you know. Only about a tenth of it is salvageable, but the land is priceless. You know, put up Walmart maybe, you know, but town manager wants to reclaim it, so.
Whoa.
What the fuck is this?
Oh, what, are you a little scared, Phil? This is hydrotherapy. Used to be cutting edge. They soaked the nut jobs in cold water. I guess that was a way to chill them out. I don't know.
Or they'd give them a lobotomy. Yeah, the prefrontal lobotomy was perfected here at Danvers.
Sounds like you've done your homework.
Well, you know, my wife Elizabeth, she's a town historian. She likes to keep me in the know. Hey, there's a fantastic morgue in the basement where they do the postmortems out there.
Bill, could you show us the problem areas?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Bill leads them through a kitchen.
Feed a fucking army in here.
Yeah, well, they did. It's a self-contained town. Church, movie theater, bowling alley. Oh, there's a lovely cemetery up behind the machine shop. No headstones, just numbers. You really ought to check it out. Why don't you step here? This will become Municipal Archives, a wife's department. It was a dining area.
It's going to be a lot of foot traffic?
Well, yeah, it's like a library.
Now all these tales will have to go. These are deadly.
They're loaded with asbestos, Bill.
Really? No, the other bids didn't point that out.
Oh, they should have, man. It's standard.
I'm going to take you to the female wing now, Ward C. It'll become administration, town manager's office, Department of Public Works.
In other words, your office.
You better believe it. Okay, each wing is made up of four wards. Wards A, B, C, and D. Ward A, which I call the wing tip, is the farthest away from the staff building. This is where they keep the extreme patients.
What do you mean extreme?
Oh, psychotic.
The most dangerous ones furthest away, right?
Hey, you're so smart, Phil. Whoever said you weren't smart? You know what they called Ward A? The snake pit. Now, you follow these two down and take you to C, but I wouldn't advise walking on the floors. It's water damaged.
How do we get over there?
Are you guys scared of the dark? Come on. Over here.
Gordon stares down a dark corridor at the solitary wheelchair, standing outside the dimly lit room at the end. Gordon continues to stare at the chair, his brow furrowed.
Hello, Gordon.
Cody? It's me, man. Come on.
Gordon stares at Phil. Another view of the wheelchair. The three guys walk down a dark tunnel, shining flashlights.
Survival rations.
Yeah, duck and cover, my friend. Bend over and kiss your ass goodbye. You know, this place was used as a fallout shelter. To me, that is a weird idea.
Well, all these ducks are going to have to be wet stripped. You see this?
Yeah.
That breaks off, dusk gets into these tunnels, you're going to pollinate the entire building.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I wouldn't want that.
Believe me, you don't want any half.
No, you don't.
We go, Gordon, let me leave. Hold on. Jesus. Okay. Yeah, this needs to be a solarium. I call it the Carpetone Room. Well, here we are, gentlemen. Danvers Town Hall. Reclaiming the dark past to build a brighter future. Something like that.
Huh?
Crocodile. Crocodile what?
Oh,
crocodile.
Crocodile.
Yeah, worst kind. This is decaying, friable, I'd say circa 1940s.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the deal there?
Well, if I were you, Bill, I'd seal off the whole area.
Yeah, full pulley, a couple of neg air machines, decon showers, the whole bit.
Yeah, you know, OSHA won't let me start till you guys clean her up, and I gotta get construction crews in here by Columbus Day, so you got a guesstimate how long? Roughly? Ballpark? What?
These rooms, dining room, tunnels, I would say
3 weeks minimum.
3 weeks?
Two weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. You guys Mac and Meyer for her? What is it, 3 or 2?
2 weeks.
Phil nods.
2 weeks.
He's the captain, right?
You better believe it.
Well, I guess you guys seen enough, huh? Need anything else?
All right. What's all this, Bill?
They're punks. Little motherfuckers come in here to get high, boot skag, shoot guns. Destructive little bastards.
Shoot guns? What?
Well, hopefully each other.
Hey, Bill?
What?
What is this?
Hey, Phil, what are you checking in? Don't go in there without your bathing suit.
Phil enters a room.
This is a seclusion. That's what they call the patient's rooms back then, seclusions. It's some part of some therapy. It was big in the 70s, all these cutouts and stuff. You know,
art therapy, creative expression. You know, it helped them with their self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know, help them feel good about themselves, more at home. It's creepy, huh?
Shades of your childhood, huh?
Yeah, there's a picture of me at summer camp somewhere up here.
Gordon scans the old photos and clippings covering the wall.
What do you think was wrong with this one?
I don't know.
Bill and Gordon come outside.
Chocolate broke the glass here. Yeah. Hey, you know, I got a little time. You want to check out that cemetery? 750 bodies buried there. It's like...
Gentlemen, I'm sorry.
Phil?
I left the bag. I gotta go back.
Oh, you know where you're going?
Yeah, middle of the bat wing, right?
Yeah. Ha! You got it.
Okay, I'll see you down here.
I'll be out.
Gum?
No, thanks, man.
Oh, you know, I don't think I ever congratulated you and Wendy on your new addition.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
You know, I know how long you both got. Well, anyway,
yeah.
We're just so happy.
You want to see it?
Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
You want a picture?
I'll show you my baby.
Oh.
Yeah?
Oh, isn't she just a doll?
Emma.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I'll match Yankee's bid.
Well, this isn't how we normally do the bidding process. I mean, the deadline's Friday. Paperwork on my desk.
I know. We'll be in on Monday. We'll be out the following Monday.
I thought you said 2 weeks.
1 week. I'll do it in 1 week. I've got 4 really good guys. I'll hire another guy. 1 week, we're gone.
1 week?
1 week.
That's fast.
Uh-huh. I'm good for it. You know I'm good for it.
Bill chews gum. The two men stare at one another.
I need the job. I really need this job.
Gordon looks at Bill. Phil enters the cutout-covered seclusion. The bag is on the floor just inside. He picks it up, studying the wall as he's leaving. Images of a chimp holding a dead baby and an old woman with a doll are pinned up together with a caption beneath them. Everybody thought I was nuts. A hand holds a photo of Gordon in a suit with a pretty dark-haired lady, Wendy, and a bawling baby. The hands shuffle to another photo. A third photo of just the baby. A hand is reaching toward the child's head. Gordon, in the driver's seat of the parked van, studies the photos. Across the street, Wendy finishes watering potted plants outside a house. Near her, a baby is sitting in an infant swing. There's a small dog near the baby, pulling against its leash. Gordon looks over. Wendy, picking up the crying baby, is looking in his direction. They exchange smiles before she carries the baby inside. Gordon watches them disappear inside the dark interior beyond the open front door. He looks down and studies another photo of the three of them. He picks up a bag packed with items, including a peanut butter jar, Oreos, and a rose bouquet, and gets out.
Roses? They're lovely. What's an occasion, Gordon?
The screen cuts to black, then fades in on a green generator, and a figure in a white hazmat suit and a tool belt nearby walking across grass. The figure is heading toward Danvers State Hospital. A caption in white label maker text reads, Monday. A corridor is lit by a row of caged bulbs. There are archways in the ceiling every few feet. The hazmat-clad figure, in a gas mask, enters a room covered in plastic sheets. He knocks on a metal panel as he enters.
Junior's up and running, sir!
Take the mask off, Hank.
The ACM level says, sir.
Take it off, dickhead.
Here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to go down to the tunnel, hang up those glove bags, tag those ducks we looked at this morning, use the green slime.
You mean red, right? Those ducks are hazards, Gordo.
What?
Red, right?
Phil looks over.
Yeah, red.
Hank looks at Phil.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Amy says hi.
Keep it up, dickhead.
Don't shoot the messenger, Phil. I'm just relaying information. She says to me this morning while we're laying in bed to say hi to you.
Keep it up.
Yeah, I got it up. That's the problem, right?
Phil steps carefully across a sheet of plastic Gordon's duct taping. In a dining room, a young guy puts a boombox on the floor by a multi-plug.
So, dude, how long you been working with my Uncle Gordon?
5 whole years.
All right.
So is he a slave driver or what?
Well, Gordon's a very reasonable man. I'm the slave driver.
Got a couple rules, though. Safety first, getting the job done second, and no drugs on the job, dude.
Woo-hoo! What the hell is that?
So, Mike, you gonna show me the ropes?
Jeff turns. Hank enters.
This the new guy?
They call it Jeff. It's Gordon's nephew.
Uh-huh. Mike, I didn't tell you about these?
What? Can't use these.
Why not?
Rule one. Music creates sonic vibrations. Vibrations jiggle spooge dust into the air. Gets into the air, it gets into your lungs. This the kind of music you plan on listening to here, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You trying to kill us all? Put it away or play something else, man, like Yanni or John Tesh or something, right?
I'll see you guys at lunch. Going down deep. Oh, yeah.
Jeff frowns.
Who's Yanni?
Hank makes his way down a stairwell. The stairs and landings are protected from the shaft by chain link fencing. Hank pushes something on the stairs out of his way and continues past. Gordon sits just inside the back of the van, soda in hand, eyes shut.
You know, Gordo, you finally landed us the perfect gig. Next time someone says what we do is crazy, just say, yeah, well, we work in an insane asylum.
You might actually want to be grateful, my man. You're about to make some decent money.
Yeah, what, $5 an hour?
You didn't tell him?
You tell him.
Okay. $10,000 bonus. Gordon arranged it with the town.
What's the catch?
Mike pulls up.
Got to finish by the 13th.
The 13th? As in what? This Monday? Come on, Gordo. You know this is at least a 2-week job.
That's exactly right, so we're going to work our asses off.
So what is it, 10 G's each?
You don't like it, Henry. I'll give you a ride to the airport right now.
Let it go, fella. You'll drive me to the airport. What about Amy? You going to take Amy to the airport?
She likes to travel.
I know she likes to travel.
Hey, guys. Got your keys for the gate?
Thanks, man.
So what do you think, huh? 15 years really does a number on a place. You know, it's hard to believe there used to be over 2,400 patients here at one point.
Yeah, so why'd they close this place down?
Nearly all these places got closed down in the 80s, you know, the budget cuts. Feds called it deinstitutionalization.
So they just dumped the people on the street?
Some went to, like, home care type programs.
So the loonies are outside in the real world, and here we are with the keys to the loony bin, boys.
Well, it wasn't just the budget cuts, you know.
What was it then, Mike?
Patricia Willard scandal, 1984.
Patricia Willard? I don't recall that.
Patricia Willard. She was committed here in the 1970s by her parents. Manic depression, that sort of thing. Typical adolescent crap. But in the 1980s, this new kind of therapy took off, repressed memory therapy. See, the shrinks figured that with these new techniques they designed, they could release hidden memories of traumatic events in your life, rape, incest. So Patricia, with the help of her doctors, recalls that when she was 10, her father raped her. But not once, right? Now, he'd do it 3 times a week. And he didn't just rape her. He came into her room at night, wearing a black robe. He'd take her and drive her to a wooded area where her grandparents and her mother were, and they'd all have black robes on. They'd take them off, and group orgies would ensue. And then they'd bring out the newborn. She was forced to watch as her mother would cut this baby's heart out with a stone dagger. She'd drink the blood. Others would eat the flesh. Her grandfather and father would fuck her repeatedly. She was forced to have abortions, and they'd cook the aborted fetuses.
Enough.
Mike stares at Gordon.
This happened here?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere. Satanic ritual abuse syndrome. It's big in the 80s. Destroyed a lot of families. Patricia was ready to sue hers. It was all set to go to trial, and
what?
She dropped the suit.
Why?
Well, her parents discovered a physical examination she'd undergone about a year prior. Turns out, she was a virgin. None of it happened. So the family countersues. They win. That. And the budget cuts. And...
Mike makes a gesture like two explosions are coming out from his outflung fingers, a view up toward the roof.
So, Mike, is that story true?
Yeah.
How do you know all that stuff, man?
Yeah, my dad was a lawyer. He was on the case.
Oh, come on, Mike. Don't be so humble. His dad's the state attorney general, so you better watch your ass there, buddy.
Yeah. Hank, leave it alone, will you?
Well, you're supposed to carry the torch, too, right? Tufts Law School?
Hank, drop it.
What were you on there again, Mike? The one-year plan?
Need help with that?
No, I'm fine. Thank you. Jesus.
Tough weekend, boss?
No, I think I pulled a muscle or something.
Mike and I call you Saturday night, take you out to Molly's for a beer over the winning bid.
Oh, cheers, man. Sorry, I know. I was trying to catch up with some sleep.
Baby still got that ear thing?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Gordy, if we don't make Monday...
Oh, Greg's late stops.
No, I understand that, but if we lose this bonus...
You won't lose the bonus. Listen, man, I know where this is leading, but believe me, Jeff is young, okay? But he's not as stupid as he looks.
I'm not talking about Jeff.
Gordon and Phil stop.
We ran into Craig McManus on Saturday night. I told him about the job, about the bonus. He would leave Yankee and work for us in a second. Now, he has more experience than Hank, and he gives a shit.
Phil, your job here is to keep things on track and to eliminate obstacles.
And that's what I'm trying to do, is eliminate an obstacle.
Jesus, man, we're talking about Hank here. Now, listen, if I thought he was a liability, I'd let you sack him. As it happens, he's not.
And I don't agree.
I don't care. Now, let's finish the decon chamber. Jesus, Phil.
Fine.
Gordon walks. Phil lingers before following. Hank enters a dark room. Graffiti on a pipe reads, "Satan rules." He shakes his head at it, then sprays it with dark fluid. In the dining room, Jeff rides a small tile-removing vehicle.
Great! Now, when you get it straight, you gotta bring the nose down. Great, don't look at me, look! What are you, a lobotomy case?
Fuck,
put the
you,
nose
man.
Down!
Oh, wow!
It stops.
Nice job, Jeff.
That wasn't me, man!
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude.
Just wait there.
What?
Just hang on.
Mike walks to the multi-plug.
What the hell?
He bends, pushing on a plug head, then turns.
Okay, go down and check the breaker box.
No, I can't do that.
Why?
Jeff looks at Mike.
I got nyctophobia.
What?
Fear of the dark.
Mike stares incredulously, then shrugs.
Okay, I'll go check the breaker box. You just trying to break anything, okay, Mulletheadhead?
Thanks, man.
Mike quickly walks down the flight of stairs. At the bottom, he turns and descends another flight. Mike's on one knee in a dark room. There are two cables on the floor. He plugs them both into a large unit, one after the other. He turns and sees a crack of light coming from beyond an open door. He gets up and pushes through the door into another room. A work light hangs from a drawer on an old filing cabinet. He grabs the light and scans the room before walking forward. He approaches a door marked "Staff Only" and pulls it open. He enters the room. It's a small office space full of dusty furniture and abandoned junk on shelves. He approaches a desk and open filing cabinets at the far end and studies the desk. He glances around and up toward the ceiling. He hangs the light in his hand up on a loop of chain connected to an overhead light and goes back over to the desk. He puts his hands on his hips and nods. He bends down and opens a case on the desk. The bulb goes out. He looks up at it. It reignites. The relit bulb hangs by a couple of boxes at the top of a stack of stuff that's almost reaching to the ceiling. He picks up the boxes. The box on top falls off. Mike glances around again before putting the remaining box in his hands down on a desk. Mike cuts through tape on the box labeled evidence with a utility knife. Elsewhere, Gordon slashes through a sheet of vertical hanging plastic and cuts his palm. Mike opens the box, stirring up dust. In another room, Hank reaches for his mask as particles stir up around him. The box is full of white reel tape boxes outside.
Goddamn.
Hank, in civvies, puts on a jacket. Phil approaches Gordon in the van.
You okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Good first day, Gordo. Mm-hmm. Listen, Mike needs another hour with the Jenny carburetor's acting up.
Okay, but less than another one. Anyone hanging around in this place out the dark, okay?
No problem. Good first day, guys.
Yeah, keeps up like this, well, I'll be dead by Monday. Hey, fuck you, Phil.
See you in the morning.
Mike adjusts something into the generator. Looking up, he sees the van driving away, Gordon waving at him. Mike stares after the van. A fog has settled over the hospital grounds. A dark corridor in the hospital. There is graffiti on the walls on either side. Light shines into the hall from a doorway. Mike is alone in the office, setting up a reel-to-reel tape machine. The spools on the tape machine spin. Mike rewinds.
I know this is difficult, Mary, and that's why we're here to help, okay?
I miss Peter.
Mike picks up a box labeled Session 1, Hobbs, Mary.
Mary, I want you to try to remember what happened 22 years ago on Christmas night in Lowell.
That's where we grew up.
Yes. Can you tell me what happened that night in Lowell?
Nothing happened.
Mary, something did happen. That's why we have these sessions, to help you remember, so you can get better, okay?
No!
The boxes go up to session 9.
Final note. The patient is showing extreme agitation. She is putting her fingers in her mouth. Mary? Mary?
Have you seen our doll, Mr. Doctor?
Who am I speaking with?
Mary got a china doll from her mommy, and we can't find it now.
No, Princess, I haven't seen it.
Text on Session 1 sticker reads, Alters.
Silly, silly.
Princess, tell me what happened on Christmas 22 years ago in Lowell.
We got presents. Mary got a pretty china doll, and Peter got a big old knife.
Then what happened?
Mary's mommy and daddy went to sleep, and then we played upstairs. Peter turned off the light and hid, and Mary tried to find him.
Who played upstairs, Princess?
Mary and Peter and me and Silly.
Has Billy told you what happened next?
Billy only tells me nice things, Mr. Doctor. Like that I'm pretty.
Princess, was Simon there that night?
Simon? I don't know any Simon.
Billy's never told you about Simon?
No. I'm tired, Mr. Doctor.
Maybe Billy would like to talk now.
Billy's asleep, Mr. Doctor.
Gordon, in his van, stares at the house.
He's asleep.
It's raining. Gordon stares at his lap. He gently grabs hold of the material of his jeans on either side of a leg and tightens the material across his thigh, grimacing in pain. The windshield wipers swing. Traffic drives by. A lacy, ribboned white ornament is hanging up near the glass. The screen cuts to black. and slowly fades back in on an aerial view moving across the sprawling hospital building. White label maker text reads, Tuesday. A small rectangular room made out of a frame and plastic sheets sits in the hallway outside the plastic-covered room. In the plastic-covered room, two figures in hazmat suits and masks work, one up on a scaffolding. The second guy slings a large plastic bag on his back and puts it down in a room nearby. After putting the bag down, the second guy walks to a window and looks out. It's Gordon. He stares across the grass at a small structure like a gazebo standing in the shade of several trees.
You can hear me.
The first guy, Phil, smacks the ceiling, points at his wrist, and holds his arms out to Gordon, who nods and raises his hand in acknowledgement. In the kitchen.
Jenny's gassed up from running, sir.
Very good. Make sure she stays that way. I don't want her dying on us. Put your mask on, princess.
Fuck off. I'm not your princess, dude.
Mike frowns.
What? So what's up with Phil and Hank?
What's up with Phil and Hank? Hank stole Phil's girlfriend. It's a nightmare. You don't want to get involved. You especially don't want to get on Phil's bad side. I'll give you all the grunt work, all right?
Hazmat-clad Hank walks down a corridor, spraying fluid from a hip-slung canister near each light in the ceiling. He stops and looks down. There is a coin on the floor. Hank gets down on one knee, picks it up, and inspects it. It's a Morgan dollar, a silver antique coin. Hank looks around, then stares forward. He moves ahead, removing his hood. He bends down and picks up another coin. He stands up and inspects it.
1883, fuck yeah.
He looks frantically on either side of his tool belt and brings out a flashlight. He scans the corridor. He fixes on something. He moves toward a dark alcove. He gets down on a knee and puts the flashlight down, aimed at the wall. Coins fill the holes in the mortar between some bricks and a wall. Hank pokes and digs and collects the coins. Smiling, Hank digs a small curved blade into the cement around a brick and clears it out. He has removed enough to dislodge the brick. He grits his teeth. The brick comes free. Scores of coins stream out of the wall onto the ground. Hank's hopeful smile becomes a full-faced grin. He fingers the gap where the coins are coming from. A ring tied with string to a small slip of paper like a toe tag falls into the pile. He pulls it out. He slips the ring on over his pinky and smiles, his tongue licking his teeth.
Yo, Henry, come back.
Hank lets coins fall.
Yeah, Hank here.
I want you with Jeff and Mike after lunch, so bring your gear up.
Yeah, all right, Hank out.
Hank puts his walkie-talkie away and stares down at the pile of coins. He shoves the coins back into the hole, along with the brick. On the other side of the wall, light shines through the cracks around the brick. The brick is part of the back wall of a crematorium labeled, Caution, Hot. The view pulls back to reveal a morgue, with refrigeration units lining one wall. There is also an examination table with built-in restraints. Outside, Phil's walking with a cardboard box.
Gordo? Got your wallet.
He tosses it.
Nice grab. Okay, ladies, time to thank Uncle Gordy for lunch.
Thanks, Uncle Gordon.
Your turn tomorrow, Hank. Where's Mike?
In the equipment room, looking for those lost cartridges.
Jesus, Phil, I told you I didn't want anyone wandering around here but themselves.
Okay, boss, it won't happen again, okay?
Yeah, you got my scratch tickets?
You got them right here, Bubba. I'm coming. Now, let's see, Hanky's scratch tickets. There you go, there's one.
No, Phil, these are Jubilee. You know I play blackjack.
That's one for you, too.
Hey, Phil. Fuck you.
Mate, come in.
I can't talk anymore.
Session five.
It Mate. Appears Miss Hobbs is now entering a dissociative state, rubbing her eyes.
Mate.
Appears to
One
be
time.
Switching to an alternate personality.
Yeah, be there in a minute.
Mary.
Hello, sir.
Well, hello, Billy. How have you been?
Never better, sir.
Billy, where does the princess live?
In the tongue.
Why the tongue?
Because she's always talking, sir.
And where do you live, Billy?
I live in the eyes. You know that.
Remind me, though, why the eyes?
Because I see everything, sir.
And where does Simon live, Billy? Where does Simon live?
Jeff reads.
Hey, what's mortified pride? It says here, three patients were committed in 1889 because of mortified pride.
Let me see that. 1889? Where'd you get this?
On just some boxes, man. It's fucking hey, intense, some of the shit they just...
Go close lunch, it means lunch, understood?
Sorry, no cartridges. I gotta go pick some up from Grossman's. Listen to this. This is great. 17 were committed due to disappointed expectations. Henry, they're talking about you. They would have committed your ass back then.
Hey, what do you have to do now to get committed? Mortify someone's pride?
Simple. You kill someone.
Mike looks at him.
No, that won't get you committed, but it'll get you in jail.
If you get caught.
John Hinckley. Temporary insanity. He's not in jail. He's in the nut house, right, Mike?
That defense never works. Most people are cognizant of their actions when they murder. Homicide implies a motive.
Oh, God, Mike. How did you fail law school? You're good.
Yeah. What are you due to a lobotomy case?
Jeff. Come on, man. Jeff, don't do that.
Jeff sips a drink, then drools with the liquid. Mike grabs him and holds a chopstick over Jeff's eye.
Oh, come on, I'm just fucking around, Gordo.
Don't hurt him.
Sorry, mate. The ice pick method. Insert a thin metal pipette into the orbital frontal cortex and enter the soft tissue of the frontal lobe. A few simple, smooth up and down jerks to sever the lateral hypothalamus. All resulting in a rapid reduction of stress for our little patient here. Total time elapsed 2 minutes. Only side effect? Black eye. Recommended treatment? Sunglasses.
Jeff wriggles free and storms off. Hank claps slowly.
Brilliant. Very good.
All right, let's go back to work. Come on.
I wasn't kidding back there, man. You're smart in this crap job. You should be using your head, buddy.
Yeah. I gotta get a part from Gordon's van. Make sure Mullethead here knows how to operate that thing.
Hey, Mike! Come on, don't forget this.
Hank tosses Mike a walkie-talkie. Hank and Jeff push the tile-removing machine.
You know how to ride a lawnmower?
Yeah.
Well, then you're golden. Basically the same thing. So, I don't know, just push it in that midsection there and just start over there, all right? I'm gonna take a smoke break.
Just had a break.
Hank shrugs. Jeff bends down and pushes the heavy machine. Hank walks to the boombox.
So ecstasy.
He dances to the music. Jeff glares.
Hey, Jeff. What's up? You know what a whale is?
Yeah, I know what a whale is.
A whale is a big-time gambler. I got this buddy, right? Deals out at Foxwoods. 12 hours, and this whale has the house down. $300,000, right? As this guy's leaving, takes his car keys and drops them in my friend's pocket. You know what they're for?
What?
A Porsche 911. It's true, man, and that was a tip.
Fucking tip. What's your point?
Hank puffs on a cigarette.
Just have an exit plan, dude. You stick with this job too long, it'll mess you up, man. It gets inside of you, the stress.
A bin full of asbestos tiles.
See?
Hank breaks off a chunk of tile.
Already, an itty-bitty piece of this shit may have gotten into your lungs, man. It incubates in your lungs. Tissue begins to grow around it like a pearl, like a time bomb. Time you hit 30, boom!
He chucks it.
You're drowning in your own lung fluid. Look at you, you're not even wearing your mask now.
Jeff puts his breathing mask on, then removes it, frowning.
Wait, where's your mask? Me? Nah. Nah, buddy, I've learned to sublimate my fear. Because I got a fucking exit plan, man. I got a way of dealing with the stress. You think Mikey reads all those books for fun? Nah, man. He's got an exit plan, let me tell you. Stress gets too intense on this job, he'll bolt. He's gonna go back, finish law school, pass the bar, get the big juicy cases, make his dad proud. That's his exit plan.
Mike finds roses lying in a pool of blood.
Phil, Jesus. Phil's got his stress reducer. He's got his plan. I'm sure he'll tell you about it someday. And there's Uncle Gordo. Hey, do you know if he didn't get this gig, he'd have to fold HEC? Yeah. And he can't even have an exit plan. Fiber has always been his life. Was over there, it is here. Imagine that stress. Hey, let me tell you something, buddy. You better hope. Hope you got some of Gordo's genes, though, because Gordo, Jesus, Gordo is the Zen master of calm. I never seen old Gordo lose it. I don't know, though, man. Last few months, Gordo, I'm seeing some cracks, you know. I worry. Mikey knows what I'm talking about, right, Mikey?
He does have the new baby and all.
Should be the joy of his life, dude.
Hank, when you and Amy have a kid, we'll see how hard it is.
Me and Amy? A kid with Amy? I just fuck her to beat on Phil.
Hey, get off your ass. I want my bonus.
Mike marches into another room. Hank shrugs with his eyebrows and gets up. Gordon is alone in a room by a window. He removes his hooded mask and lets the mask hang down by his belt. He pulls out his cell phone and dials a number. He rubs his face and holds the phone up to his ear.
Hi, Wendy. I know, but we need to talk. Because we have to.
A view from outside the window.
To let me finish, would you let me... Hello?
Gordon waits with the cell phone up to his ear. He lowers it and stares out the window before putting the phone away. He stares out the window and rubs his mouth and nose with a rubber-gloved hand. He sees something outside. He's a few floors off the ground. He's staring down into the parking lot at Phil with two other guys by the generator. He sees the two guys shake hands with Phil, then walk off, taking wary glances around them. Gordon stares out the window. Night. A car drives along a secluded road and past the open gate leading up to the hospital. The car comes to a stop in a patch of dense brush. The headlights go out. The glove compartment opens. Items tumble out. Hank rummages through them for some headphones. He untangles them.
Maybe he needs a new pair of shoes.
He puts them on and reaches over for a portable neon light, which he turns on, then off.
Let's do this thing.
A couple of coins land on top of a sizable stash of them in a bag. There are many more items, some in piles on the ground nearby. Coins, rings, a pocket watch, toe tags, and glasses.
Silver. Yeah, baby, gold, gold.
Hank is on his knees by the hole on the wall, illuminated in a flashlight beam. A few more bricks have been removed. He reaches in again. He looks through a handful of fresh finds, including a paper bag with two false eyes in it.
Fucking eyeballs. Jesus Christ. I gotta go with something.
He lifts an earpiece and freezes. After a moment, he puts it back on. He puts the eyes down and reaches in the hole again. He remains up near the hole, an arm deep inside the opening, the furrow in his brow deepening. He pulls his hand back out. He's clutching a few things. He puts everything aside except for one item, a slender, shining orbitoclast.
Yeah, baby, check that out. What the fuck is that?
He places the shaft between his third and fourth finger and closes his fist around the handle. Later, he walks with his flashlight pointed up. He arrives at a thin vertical post with two small signs on it, marked Staff and Patience. He walks past chain-link fencing around the corner and into a narrow corridor, a hard wall on his right, and chain-link fencing on his left. He walks forward through the virtually pitch-black space. He comes across an empty peanut butter jar on the ground and stops. He picks it up and studies it. He spins around and holds the flashlight up. The light hits the back wall of the space. He slowly starts turning away. He spins around sharply again, the flashlight up. The silhouette of a dark figure materializes. Hank turns and starts running, slamming into the fencing at a hard turn right. He continues running down the corridor, colliding with more fencing. He arrives at a dead end and turns sharply. A pigeon flies into the beam of his flashlight. He sees the pigeon land on a pipe up near the ceiling. He turns and sees a chain link gate. He opens it and heads through. He continues walking. His light bounces off a wall at the end of a corridor leading to a turn left. A view approaches Hank from around the corner. Hank sees writing on the wall. Exit. The view hurries around the corner into Hank. His flashlight turns off. A gloved hand dislodges ceiling tiles. White label maker text reads, Wednesday. Gordon, in a hazmat suit and mask, is up on a ladder putting the tiles in a garbage bag. He looks over at Phil, doing the same thing nearby. Gordon turns back. Phil looks at him. In the dining room, Mike, in a breathing mask, rides the tile-removing vehicle and removes tiles. Jeff tosses heaps of uprooted tile fragments into a bin, a view of the place where Hank dug a hole in the wall. Outside, a water tower stretches up above a flat roof. Phil, on the roof, shakes his head.
So what's the verdict?
I'm getting nothing here. He's not even left his ice machine on.
You try Amy's yet?
Do you know her number? Okay, I'll try information.
No, fuck it. Give me the phone.
Huh?
I know the number, Gordon. Give me the phone.
Gordon tosses it to Phil.
Thank you.
Phil walks away from the others, dialing a number. He paces with the receiver up to his ear.
Hi. Hi, it's me.
Wait a second. What?
What are you talking about?
Mike watches.
Slow down. When did this happen?
Gordon watches.
Really?
Phil faces the group.
No. You hang in there. I'll call you back.
He hangs up and faces everyone.
Well, our favorite piece of shit, Hank, went to Amy's last night, packed his car, told her that he found his meal ticket, and then bolted to Miami to casino school.
Lucky fuck! And he probably scored on a scratch or something?
I warned her, didn't I? I fucking warned this bitch, didn't I? Wait a minute.
She said that he left without saying anything.
Gordon, it's Hank. He's totally unreliable. Mike, call McManus, call Craig, see if he's still available.
Phil hands the cell phone to Mike, Gordon staring down toward the structure by the trees.
Gordy. Gordy, this is a blessing. We replace this asshole and we move forward. What's the problem?
Something's not right here.
Something. What's the matter?
Who are those two guys you were talking to yesterday?
What guys?
I saw you. And what were you talking about?
What is this?
I'm asking you a question. What were you talking about?
Are you questioning my performance?
Well, I don't know. Should I be?
Phil smiles and turns away.
Mike, call McManus.
Don't walk away from me. Don't ever fucking walk away from me.
Gordon grabs Phil and spins him around. Mike watches.
You gonna hit me?
Gordon stares into Phil's eyes, their faces inches apart. Jeff watches. Gordon slowly turns and walks off, storming past Mike and snatching the phone back. Phil drops his shoulders, tightens his lips, and nods curtly. Gordon is at the bottom of the stairwell. He sits down on the bottom few steps and rests his head in his hands. He brings a fist inside his other hand and rests his hands against his lips. He notices one of his nails is caked with blood. Studying closer, they all are.
You think I'm doing a bad job, Mike?
No, you're doing fine.
Outside.
This used to be a great deal. Steady gigs, joking around, beers after work.
Hey, look, it says here 8 were committed for uncontrolled passion.
Then Emma came. Don't look at me like that, man. You know it's why we lost the last 2 gigs. He's tired and he overbid.
Gordon loves being a father.
Yeah, now he does. Now he loves it. But it was never in his heart. This was Wendy's idea.
Look, Phil, just because you say you don't want something doesn't mean you don't want it. You know, 6 years ago, I didn't want to be a lawyer, but now I'm thinking I might.
Wait. The fuck are you kidding? You shuck fiber with us in there, okay? Look, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fatherhood is screwing this guy's head up, and it's fucking this job up. At the very least, Mike, he should have canned Hank's ass 6 months ago, and you know it. What are you looking at? Where you going, Mike?
I'm gonna go take a piss.
You got 25.
Gordon approaches the structure in the yard, revealing an entranceway to a staircase descending downwards. He walks down it with a slight limp. Gordon marches through woods. He arrives at a fallen tree a few hundred yards from the hospital building. He sits down on it. He's at the edge of the graveyard. Scores of hexagonal headstones are planted at intervals in the uneven grass. Gordon staring skyward. In the office, Mike quickly searches through rows of small drawers in a large filing cabinet taking up a wall. He stops and searches in one. He pulls out a file. A raised tab along the top reads, Hobbs, Mary. Looking down at the front cover, he sees printed letters, Deceased, number 444. Outside, Gordon has his phone up to his ear.
Hello, Wendy. Can we talk? Wendy? I want to ask you something. Can you forgive me?
Down by Gordon's foot, underneath the log, is a fallen, broken headstone that reads 444.
Uncle Gordon!
Wendy? Hello.
Gordon. Sorry.
Hey, man.
I didn't see you on the phone.
Sit down, sit down.
Thanks.
Jeff comes up and sits on the log a few feet away from Gordon.
I just came to thank you for giving me this job, you know. I mean, I want to let you know I'll bust my ass for you, okay?
I know.
So don't stress out, all right? Things will work out. I mean, I'm here for you, and I'm going to bust my ass, all right?
Family, man.
Yeah.
They shake hands heartily.
So was that Aunt Wendy?
Yeah.
How's she doing?
She's good. She's tired, you know. It's when kids tire you sometimes.
Yeah, no, I know.
Gordon's eyes are welling with tears.
My dad's got the photos back from the christening.
Yeah?
Emma looks pretty pissed off.
Yeah, she's pretty pissed.
Gordon's smile fades.
Why are you crying, Mary?
Pages of a psychologist's report.
How come they won't visit doctor?
Mary, can you tell me how you got those scars on your chest?
How many times do I have to tell you? I fell off my bike when I was a girl.
Is that what you remember, Mary?
Yes.
Now, can you tell me who the princess is?
No idea.
And who Billy is?
I don't know anyone named Billy.
Who is Simon, Mary?
I have no idea who Simon is. I am sick of
Mary,
these sessions.
Mary, calm down.
I just want to go back to my room.
Mary? Mary?
Photos in the file show her scars.
Mary is asleep, sir.
Billy, why won't you tell me what happened in Lowell? I know you saw what happened.
You know perfectly well what happened, sir.
But Mary needs to know what happened, Billy. She needs to remember.
No!
Well, then maybe Simon would like to tell me what happened.
He's asleep.
Help me wake up Simon,
no!
Billy. We must wake up Simon,
I won't
Billy.
Scare her.
Billy, we have to wake up Simon.
Another photo shows Mary, a brunette in her 30s. Gordon's on a bench in the plastic chamber. He looks over at Phil, brushing his hair in a mirror.
Take a shower, Gordon. You shouldn't go home with that shit on you, man.
Phil, in a white t-shirt and towel, takes hanging clothes over to the bench and sits down next to Gordon, who's wiping some handheld equipment down. Phil rummages in a box of laundry.
What's the stupidest thing you've ever done? I mean, besides coming to work for you.
Phil drops socks down by the boots he got out of the box. He pulls a lace through his fingers, then stares ahead.
I would have to say introducing Hank to Amy, that was pretty fucking stupid. I wish I had that one back. I hit Wendy.
Gordon looks at Phil. Phil stares at him, his brow furrowing.
What?
It was Friday night. I wanted to celebrate getting this job. I had the flowers, I had the champagne. I went into the kitchen, she was cooking pasta. I wanted to kiss her. She turned round before I knew it. There was a pot of boiling water all over my leg. I don't know if it was a dog barking. I don't know if it was Emma crying. But I slapped her. I hit my wife. I love my wife. It was an accident. But I slapped her for it. I tried to talk to her on the phone, but she won't listen.
Where are you staying?
A motel.
Phil casts his gaze down at the floor.
You don't tell the other guys about this.
Well, come on, man.
The two men stare at one another, Gordon nodding gently.
You're right about Craig. give him a call.
Gordon goes back to wiping. Phil nods and stares down at the floor.
You know, those kids the other day, I had a conversation with those fucking graffiti artists, and they will not be coming back our way again. I spoke to them, I said, you know, if I see you again, I'm calling security, so... Anyway, so that's taken care of, all right?
Okay.
Hang in there. Take a shower. Get that shit off you.
Night. A large full moon hangs low in the sky. The silhouette of the top branches of a tree cut across part of its face. The silhouette of a large spider in a web. The sky above the hospital is pale blue. Gordon is asleep on the steering wheel of a vehicle.
Hello, Gordon.
In a flashback, Wendy heads inside the open front door with the baby. Gordon watches from the van across the street. In the kitchen beyond is a tall pot with steam rising from it.
You know who I am.
Roses? They're lovely. What's the occasion, Gordon? Not here, Gordon. Later.
Do it, Gordon.
A figure in a bloody hazmat suit and mask standing beneath the light. Gordon snaps awake. It's dark. He's in the van outside the hospital. Gordon reaches over for a bottle of hydrogen peroxide. His blistered thigh is exposed. He unscrews the bottle's safety cap. He pours the thick, dark liquid over the glistening wound. A stream of spit falls from his open mouth, his eyes clenched shut and his body tense. In the dark hospital, tall shadows gently move on the floor and walls near a doorway. A view of the dark kitchen and its many large pots standing in a row along the cooker tops. The long corridor with the wheelchair at the end of it. A shadow flits across a wall nearby. A tall, thin shadow enters the light along the floor by the wheelchair. Morning. Billowy overcast clouds slowly ripple above the hospital. White label maker text reads, Thursday. Hands roll a joint. A tongue licks the adhesive. A lighter lights the end. Phil, in a vehicle, takes a drag from the joint as he's leaning back in the driver's seat. He stares ahead, freezes, then quickly puts the joint out, muttering. He's in a pickup outside the hospital. The hazmat van pulls up. Gordon parks, his open driver's side window facing Phil's.
Hey.
Gordon regards Phil, who puts something in his jacket pocket, then turns to face Gordon.
You're up early?
Yeah. Guess I wasn't the only one who couldn't sleep. I got Craig coming in tomorrow. Okay?
Gordon nods gently. Phil looks away.
You okay?
I want to go home.
Phil nods and casts his gaze down again.
I'm gonna go inside. Okay. I gotta go.
Phil gets out, Gordon staring. A flock of geese fly in formation through the sky. Phil, in his partially unzipped hazmat suit, is on the roof, smoking the joint. He shrugs with his eyebrows.
It's gonna get ugly.
The multi-plug is outside a room. Mike comes out and takes a quick glance back in before kneeling down and adjusting something. Inside, Jeff's riding the tile-removing machine. It suddenly stops.
Jesus Christ! Jeff, what'd you do? I'm gonna go check the breakers.
Mike.
What?
Take a break with me.
I can't. I gotta go check the breakers.
Let the kid do it.
Well, the kid can. He's got nyctophobia.
Mike.
Okay. All right.
Mike and Phil stand in a dark corridor.
Fuck. We got a problem.
What?
We have a problem, and I want you to know that this is not easy for me. Look at me. This is not easy for me.
Okay.
Do you understand?
All right.
We need to talk about Gordon.
What about Gordon?
Okay, he needs to take some time off, Mike.
Why?
Because he's becoming a liability.
Phil, look, I can see why you're a little paranoid.
Can you? You know? Do you know that he hit his wife? He hit Wendy. Mike. Now, I've got Craig coming over tomorrow. If Griggs hears about this, you understand what that means, right? You want to lose this gig? You want to lose the bonus? Because that's what's going to happen.
Gordon is elsewhere, staring upward. Jeff descends the stairwell. At a landing, he lingers before starting off down the next flight.
So what do we do?
Okay, you listen to me. You follow my lead. You let me handle this, okay? I don't give a shit what happened. Fuck it. I'm in charge now.
So what did he say?
I think it might happen Saturday.
Phil stops and looks behind his shoulder. Gordon is approaching. Mike and Phil watch him. Phil looks at Mike. Gordon stops. Phil glances at Mike again.
We were just talking about your nephew. You know how he's coming along, that sort of thing.
And how is he coming along?
Jeff enters the breaker room, a little light spilling in from the doorway. He plugs a cable into the large unit and leaves. He jogs back up the stairs. As he rounds the landing to head up the next flight, he freezes. Hank is at the top of the stairs, staring out a window. Jeff pulls his breathing mask aside.
Hank? Yo, dude, hello? Hank? You were some deep shit, you know that?
What are you doing here?
What am I doing here? What are you doing here? Everyone thinks you're in Miami at that casino school. Fucking Gordon and Phil want your head, man. So, dude, did you score on a scratch or what?
What are you doing here?
Hank, in sunglasses, slowly brings an arm up to the window and runs a finger down it, leaving blood on the glass.
Listen, I forgot something. I'll be back.
Jeff runs back downstairs.
You know, just needs a little motivation. That's pretty much it.
What do you think, Phil?
Same. I think he's a little slow. But with Hank gone, Craig coming on, we'll pick up the slack.
Right. I mean, I'll motivate him. A little mullet head. He may be partying in the back, but I'll make sure he's business in the front.
Phil smiles and looks away. Mike shrugs with his eyebrows.
What time is it?
I think it's noon. About noon.
Lunchtime.
Yeah.
Want to place the order?
Yeah, sure. I think it's Phil's turn, though, right, Phil?
Phil plays with the silver dollar.
Fuck it, Mike. Let's flip for it.
What?
Let's flip for it.
Where'd you get that?
Found it. Might even be worth something, too. You ready?
Found it?
Yep. Call it in the air, heads or tails.
Heads.
Phil flips the coin. Hank drops one.
Tails, get going, loser.
Mike goes. Gordon approaches Phil, takes the coin from him, and inspects it. He looks at Phil.
What? What?
Hey, yo!
Gordon. Gordon.
Jeff runs up to them.
What do you want, Jeff?
I found Hank.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I just found Hank in the stairwell. He was just standing.
Don't be a fucking idiot, okay?
I'm not a fucking idiot. I swear to God, I saw him.
If he's in Miami, Jeff, why would he be here? How could that be possible, Jeff?
I don't know, but I saw him.
You know what? Go back to work. We'll bring you your lunch. And get out of here.
Where was he, Jeff?
In the staircase next to the equipment.
Wait a minute. You believe him? You believe this punk? Gordon? Gordon? Oh, for Christ's sakes. Mike? This is so goddamn ridiculous. Gordon, if he's in Miami, why would he be here?
Ask him yourself.
Hey, we're going to do that, Jeff. We're going to do that, my man.
That's what we're doing. That's where I'm taking
him. We're going to do that.
I'm telling you, he's up here.
Where is he?
He's standing right there. It's fucking weird, but he's right here. I'm telling you, he's right.
Right up where, Jeff?
I swear he was. I'm not lying. Why would I make this up?
Now, Jeff. Hey, listen to me, guys. Now, you heard me on the phone with Amy. Am I right? She said Hank went to where? Miami. Okay? Now, we heard it. We all heard it, right?
No. No, we didn't.
Gordon stares from Hank's dropped coin to Phil.
What?
I'm gonna go to lunch.
No, you still are. What are you saying, Gordon?
You told us that's what she said, but we didn't hear Sarah. We saw you in the phone, we heard you in the phone, we didn't hear Amy.
Right, so what you're saying to me is it wasn't Amy on the phone. Is that what you... Mike, now come on, man. This is what I'm talking to you about.
Mike, give me the cell phone.
Why?
What? Because I want to talk to Amy.
What? I spoke to Amy. You don't need to speak to Amy.
Give me the cell phone.
Don't give him the fucking cell phone. Right?
Give me
the
cell phone.
Mike, this is what I'm trying to tell you. He's losing it, man. Mike, this is what I'm telling you. He's losing it. Look at him. He's losing it, man. Give me the fucking cell phone.
They all stare up toward the sound of footsteps.
What the fuck was that?
It's Hank! It's Hank!
Okay. Jeff, Mike, go downstairs and make sure he doesn't turn around. You come with me.
Hey.
Fuck you. You come with me. Let's go.
Mike! Come on, Jeff!
Mike follows Gordon up. Jeff follows Phil down.
Whoa, wait, you heard him go that way.
Check the tunnels, they're safer.
Safer?
Gordon, this could be anybody. It could be squatters, it could be kids.
Jeff follows Phil through a dark corridor.
Come on, Phil, slow down, man. You know it's not fucking down here.
God!
Gordon limps up some stairs.
Hey, Gordon, did you hear that?
Mike points down a staircase.
I thought I heard something down there in the tunnels. Did you hear it?
No, it was this way.
Gordon, I'm going down in the tunnels, all right? You follow up top.
Mike, stay tuned.
Gordon purses his lip and continues on. Mike hurries down the stairs.
Fuck this.
What the fuck, Phil, man? Slow down. So fucking stupid.
Phil and Jeff have stopped in a corridor.
I don't hear anything.
Give me a torch.
Jeff hands his flashlight to Phil. Phil shines it on an opening in the floor and a ladder leading down to another level. In the office, Mike picks up one of the reel boxes and removes the reel inside. The box is labeled Session 9.
Down there?
Shut up. I want you to stay right there. You see or hear anything, you call me. You understand me?
I left my walkie in the van.
Stay there.
And Phil, wait.
What, Jeff?
When I saw Hank, I think he had blood on his hand.
Phil nods and points at Jeff.
Stay there.
Gordon comes up some stairs into a corridor and walks along it, limping slightly. He comes into a wider space, a large B painted on the wall.
And Billy, you understand that you, the princess, and Simon are all in Mary.
Yes, sir.
And if Mary is sick, then you are sick too, all of you.
Yes, sir.
You want Mary to get better, right, Billy?
Yes.
So help her, Billy. Tell me about that night in Lowbilly.
We were playing hide and seek, sir. Mary was hugging her new doll, and she was looking for Peter. It was real dark.
Phil?
Jeff, alone in the dark corridor, looks out. Phil walks along with the flashlight up. It's virtually pitch black. Gordon inspects the rundown hallway. Mike writes, Princess equals innocence. Billy equals protection. Simon equals question marks.
What did Simon do to Peter, Billy?
No,
Simon,
I Billy, won't
tell
do
me
it,
so we can make merry.
Outside, a fuel dial on the large green generator hovers around E. Another measuring AC volt starts dropping. The lights near Jeff dim. They glow again fully, briefly, but then dim once more. Jeff starts walking down the corridor. Phil's flashlight, searching the floor, stops on Hank's headphones and portable music player. Elsewhere, Gordon is walking.
Gordon.
He changes direction and runs toward the voice. There are disturbed puddles of water on the floor. Gordon runs on past them. Jeff scans his surroundings. He heads down some steps and arrives at a long corridor with protective suits and gloves lining one wall. He moves down the corridor. The view moves up through the ceiling, revealing woods leading up to a secluded house. Phil finds Hank's shirt and shoe.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
Jeff continues down the corridor, in the office.
Billy, I need to talk to Simon. We need Billy, wait. Oh, Simon. Billy.
No!
Gordon half limps, half jogs around a corner. Inspecting a room, he finds an upturned wheelchair and runs on past it. Phil walks with the flashlight out. The lights in Jeff's corridor flicker.
We need to wake up, Simon.
Smoke billows from the generator's exhaust.
Wake up, Simon.
Jeff starts running. Behind him, the lights go out one by one, the darkness appearing to chase him. The darkness moves ahead of him. The AC voltmeter drops to zero. Mike slaps the desk, then stands up. Gordon arrives at a staircase. He studies the big A painted on the wall. Jeff is in total darkness. Mike climbs some stairs. Phil, with the flashlight up, moves forward slowly.
What are you doing here?
Mike crosses the gymnasium. In the darkness up ahead of Phil is Hank in the sunglasses.
Phil, I think I found Hank.
Phil stares at Hank. Mike picks up a gas can and opens a panel on the generator. Gordon slowly climbs the stairs to Ward A. Jeff emerges in a crack of light coming from an overhead shaft. The light is illuminating countless particles in the air.
What are you doing here?
Phil holds the flashlight on shirtless Hank, then walks toward him. Gordon arrives in a dark corridor. A band of yellow tape marked caution stretches across it. At the far end is the dimly lit wheelchair.
Gordon, come back. Gordon, come back. Where are you?
Ward A, third floor.
I'm coming.
Gordon stares ahead. Holding a fuel canister, Mike twists a control and the generator starts up. In the office, the tape machine starts up again.
Hello, Doc.
Simon?
You know who I am.
Billy has told me a lot about you.
Billy is a smart boy.
What happened on Christmas night in Lowell?
Use your imagination.
I rather you tell me, Simon.
Gordon stares down at a Morgan silver dollar on the floor. In a flashback, Phil flips a coin. Gordon stares ahead.
Peter was naughty, Doc.
Gordon approaches the wheelchair.
What did Peter do?
He shouldn't have done it, Doc.
Tell me, Simon.
He scared Mary, Doc. He crept up behind her in the dark. And he scared her. Mary fell down, Doc. She fell on her doll. It cut her up, Doc. It cut her up real bad. She needed someone to help her. So I introduced myself. And I told her to cut up Peter, Doc. To cut him up real bad, too. Good thing his knife was brand new. Real sharp.
Gordon stands in another seclusion with pictures on the wall. A sign outside reads, number 444, Mary Hobbs. He remembers Phil tossing him a wallet.
And then, just so her mommy and daddy wouldn't get mad, I told her to cut them up too.
Phil approaches. Gordon scans the photos. He sees photos of himself and his family.
There was a lot of blood, Doc. So much blood.
Phil enters the room with the curved blade.
But Mary wanted to do it.
Do it, Mary.
Gordon turns to him.
So she did it.
Jeff bursts through a door crisscrossed with yellow tape into the woods. Mike pushes through double doors. Phil and Gordon stare at one another. Phil is sweating. Gordon shakes his head. Jeff rips off his hazmat suit top. He's running away from the secluded house. Mike checks a flashlight. He's crossing the gymnasium. Jeff, the top of his suit hanging down around his waist, runs to Gordon's hazmat van. He opens the driver's side door. He reaches in for a walkie-talkie. He sits down in the open doorway.
Gordon, Phil, come back, please.
What's that?
Good, it's Jeff. I'm by the van.
He rests his forehead against his forearm on the door, then looks up at the hospital. He rubs his mouth with the back of his arm. Then rummages in the driver's side door pocket. He takes out an Oreo cookie and eats it. Jeff sees someone approaching and stands up quickly, holding the Oreo.
Sorry, man, I was freaking out. The lights went out and I got these in the van. Is that okay?
The view rushes at Jeff, and the screen cuts to black. Puddles on the floor in a dark hallway ripple rapidly. Sunlight shines through a chain-link fence with a few cobwebs in it. Turbines on a roof spin. In the office, one of the two spools on the tape machine spins. White label maker text reads, Friday. A family portrait photo with young, smiling Mary Hobbs in it. Next to it is a photo of adult Mary, staring into the camera out of the corner of her eye. The red hazmat van is in the hospital parking lot. Gordon is in the driver's seat. There's a walkie-talkie on the central console by his leg.
Come back. Come back.
Gordon picks it up.
This is Gordon.
We found the one. The one responsible.
Gordon looks out the front windshield and puts the walkie-talkie down. He gets out of the van, slotting the cell phone into a holster on his belt. An aerial view of the hospital. It resembles a bat with its wings out to the sides. Gordon walks through the kitchen. There are several meat hooks hanging down. He passes by a destroyed sticker of an American flag on a door. A car zooms into the parking lot and pulls in next to Gordon's van. Craig, a guy in his 30s with dark, wavy shoulder-length hair, a mustache, and a duffel bag, gets out. He looks at the hospital and smiles.
You gotta be kidding me. Freaking beautiful.
There is a dried, bloody handprint on the van's passenger side door. Inside the hospital, Gordon walks through the small plastic chamber. Comes out the other side and continues walking.
Gordon!
Craig walks along a hall.
Hello, hello, hello! Phil!
He turns a corner.
Commander's here, where are you guys?
Craig's approaching the gymnasium. There is a large pool of blood in the center. Elsewhere, Gordon enters the plastic-covered room and scans his surroundings. Near a wall, there is a body on the floor with plastic wrapped around it. It's Hank. Gordon approaches it. He stares down at Hank.
I mean, he was a liability.
Who did this?
Well, I mean, he brought it on himself, didn't he? I mean, it's typical. Typical Henry. Wrong place at the wrong time.
Gordon looks at Phil.
You did this,
Gordon. I need you to wake up and take a really, really good look at him.
Gordon, wide-eyed and mouth agape, stares down at Hank. He gets on one knee and removes Hank's sunglasses. The orbitoclast is lodged in the corner of Hank's eye, up to the hilt. Behind him toward Craig's voice, then ahead, and his jaw drops. Phil has vanished.
Who are you talking to, man?
Craig puts his bag down.
Gordon.
Craig sees the body on the floor and freezes. Gordon turns toward him.
I'm a little confused here, man.
Gordon has a hand on Craig's shoulder. He gets him in a rear chokehold.
Hey, Gordon!
They fall beside Hank, landing on the cell phone. Gordon sits up with Craig and restrains him from behind. Hank's head rolls toward them. Gordon reaches over and pulls the orbitoclast out of Hank's eye. Blood trickles out from the wound. Gordon gets the tool in an overhead grip above Craig.
Do it, Gordon.
Gordon stabs Craig's eye. In flashback, Hank talks to a figure in the dark.
What are you doing?
Craig's leg twitches violently. Gordon holds him tightly.
Why did you do it, Simon?
Because Mary let me, Doc.
Gordon rises unsteadily against a fading image of Mary.
They always do.
In flashback, Hank holds the flashlight beam on a dazed Gordon.
What are you doing?
In the present, Gordon taps his head, then rubs his eye.
They always do.
He rubs the finger down his face, pulling the bottom eyelid and leaving a bloody smear along his eye socket. He stares ahead. He approaches the far wall of the plastic-covered room.
You know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't mention this to anyone, Gordy.
Gordy.
I wouldn't tell anybody about this. Because if they find out about Hank, they're gonna find out about the others.
I found Hank, Gordy. He's hurt. And he said you did it to him. Is that true? Gordy? Gordy!
Phil recoils as he's struck in the side of his head. In the plastic-covered room, Phil's dead body lies on the floor.
Who did this?
Well, he brought it on himself. Didn't he? Wrong place at the wrong time.
Gordon runs up behind Mike in the gymnasium and slashes at him with a curved blade. Mike's dead and bloody body is sitting slumped against a wall.
Where are the others?
Gordy, you are asleep.
Uncle Gordon!
Gordon approaches Jeff.
Wake up.
Gordon's hazmat suit is bloody. He's holding the knife. He waves to Jeff.
All right, man, I was freaking out. I got these in a bin. Is that okay?
He swipes at Jeff's face, a view of the hospital roofs above the tree line. In the plastic-covered room, Jeff's bloody body lies on its stomach. Gordon reaches the far wall and stops. He's staring at the plastic wall. A warm, intense light is shining through it.
Gordy. I need you to open your eyes now. Wake up. And remember.
Gordon stares out of the van's driver's side window at Wendy and the baby. He watches them head inside the open front door. He sees the steaming pot. He grabs his bag and the bouquet of flowers. He gets out of the van and approaches the house.
Roses? They're lovely. What's the occasion, Gordon? Not here, Gordon. Later. Watch out! Gordon! Oh my God, Gordon!
Ah!
No!
Ah!
No! Stop, Gordon! No!
Do it, Gordon.
Ah! Oh! Oh!
Oh! A view of many photos stuck to a wall. There are several of Wendy and the baby at the christening, some with other people, including Mike and Phil.
Do it, Gordon. Do it now.
The final few photos are of the baby. There are dried streaks of blood running down them. Gordon sits in the van, staring out at the house. Gordon is back in the plastic-covered room. He studies the wall in front of him. The wheelchair sits in the dim light at the end of the dark corridor.
Wendy. Wendy, it's me. Please don't hang up, please. I just want to say how sorry I am for what's happened. I am so sorry. I am so lonely here. I want to come home. I want to hold you. I want to hold my baby. Can you forgive me? Can you forgive me?
Gordon stands in Mary's room on his now broken cell phone. He reaches up and runs his hand with bloody fingernails over a photo of Wendy and the baby, staining it.
And where do you live, Simon?
An aerial view of the hospital.
I live in the weak and the wounded. Dark.
Titles. Directed by Brad Anderson. Written by Brad Anderson and Stephen Gavidan. Produced by David Collins, Dorothy Ofiero, Michael Williams. Executive producer, John Sloss. David Caruso. Stephen Gavidan. Paul Guilfoyle. Josh Lucas. Peter Mullen. Brendan Sexton III. Casting by Sheila Jaffe, CSA. Georgie Ann Walken, CSA. Director of Photography, Uta Breiswitz. Line producer, Mark Donadio. Production designer, Sophie Carlihan. Editor, Brad Anderson. Costume designer, M.A.E. McHugh. Music by Climax Golden Twins. Unit production manager, David Collins. First assistant director, Jennifer C. Blum. Second assistant director, David Metzler. Executive music producer, Carson Daly. Music supervisors, Barry Cole, Christopher Covert. Credits roll.
Untrained, you never shut up. Needs keep you empty. Freedom spins you out of control. Till someone chokes you with a chain.
Chokes you with a chain. Chokes you with a chain.
The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious. And any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, and/or exhibition of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This motion picture is being exhibited under specific license and is not for sale. October Films, Inc. is the author of this motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws. Copyright 2001 October Films, Inc. All rights reserved. USA Films. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Universal. Voice by Paul Terbiak. A USA Films release. Session 9.